Well, it is wonderful to look over the congregation today and see all of you here. And it is a pleasure to be able to stand before you and a privilege. And thank you for the opportunity of being able to share a few words with you from God's Word this morning. I invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's where we will spend the majority of our time today. We will look at the passage of Scripture that Cade read for us a few moments ago, and in particular, we're going to look at verse 13 together today. We're going to have a few thoughts about temptations from God's Word, and we want to share a few of these thoughts with you this morning. But before we do that, let's read again 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, if you go back and you pick up on the context of what he's writing about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you're going to find that Paul is dealing with some of the sins that the people of Israel had committed while they were wandering in the wilderness. And he's going to make an enumeration of those sins. He's going to talk about idolatry. He's going to talk about impurity. He's going to talk about grumbling. And all of these things that they struggled with there, and many of them, because they did that, lost their lives and their bodies were scattered in that wilderness. And he goes on to say, now these things are written as an example for us so that we don't make those same mistakes. Now, the point is, we're going to be tempted like these folks are tempted. And we've got to be careful in our life that we look back at them and we think about them and say, oh, what a wicked group of people those folks were and how much better I am in my life now. Because in verse 12 he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So he wants us to be aware of the sins that those people committed and he wants us to be able to avoid those things today. And that's what leads us here into this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Now, when we look at this particular passage of Scripture, and as we move on in our lesson, I want us to consider four things about being tempted. And the first thing that I want us to consider when we're tempted is this. Remember that you are not the first. Now, if you go back and look, he says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So I don't know what your temptation is that you may struggle with, but I'm telling you, you're not the first person to live with it. You're not the first person to have that particular temptation. And that's why I think that Paul does such a good job of listing several of these different sins that the people of Israel had been tempted with. So you are not the first. We think about this. No temptation is uncommon. Now, the truth is, whatever it is that I struggle with in my life, somebody else has struggled with in their life as well. And here's the other kicker to it. There is somebody in this life that struggled with the temptation that I struggle with, and they have been able to overcome that temptation. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But you're not the first to have to go through the things that you're going through. And sometimes I believe that we have pity parties with ourselves and say, oh, people just don't understand the situation I'm in. People don't know what it is that I'm feeling. Yes, there have been people in the past that do understand. You're not the first. You're not. Now, the Scriptures tell us that there is nothing new under the sun. And if we think about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, here John would write, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are of the world. And he also goes on to say, these are not of your Father. So all of these three things that we discussed in 1 John chapter 2, 16 are ways in which that we can commit sin, are ways in which we are tempted. And those three things are the umbrella for where every other temptation falls. They fall under those three categories of temptation. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so you are not the first to be tempted the way that you are being tempted in your life. And that's the first point that we've got to remember. When tempted, you're not the first one to endure it. Now, the second thing that I want us to remember when we think about being tempted is this. When tempted, remember you are not alone. Not only are you not the first to be tempted in this way, but you're not alone. This is something that I appreciate about the Apostle Paul's statement here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The thing that he says right after he makes it clear that no sin is uncommon to us is this. And it seems a little bit out of place. God is faithful. It's a reminder for us. It is a comfort to us to know that God is faithful. Well, now wait a second. I thought he was talking about me. I thought he was trying to address me along with the Corinthian brethren there when he talks about these temptations. I thought this is my problem. I understand that God does not sin. He doesn't have the same problem. So why is he mentioning God is faithful when it's me that's being tempted? What's the point? Well, he is faithful. We look again at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, and we look at the last part of that verse where it says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, he says these are not from the Father, but these are of the world. In other words, God doesn't want you to be tempted. And God is not putting that temptation before you. In fact, if we go to James chapter 1 and verse 13, James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, I'm drawn away of my own lust. It's not God that is tempting me. I am being tempted by the things that I see in this world. God is not tempted with evil. But he also makes us aware of the fact that he is faithful and he is there with us. So I'm not alone. God is there. And he's there so that he might be able to offer help to me in these times of temptation and difficulty. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, that passage of Scripture tells us that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know if you've had this experience in your life, but I know that I have. How many of you have ever had the experience of teaching your children how to ride a bicycle or how to swim? Now, a lot of times when you are teaching your children how to swim or to get into the water, you might stand in the swimming pool and you'll hold out your arms and you'll say what? That's right. You'll say, jump! You'll say jump. And what will they do? Well, they'll come right up. You can just see them. They're doing this the whole time. They'll come right up there. And they'll do this. Then they'll back off. And then they're watching for people around them because if there's anybody nearby, they're afraid they're going to get pushed in. And they don't want to do that. So they're going to run away from those. So they're a little leery here. And they're watching. They're ready to jump. They just want to. And you're holding your arms out and you're saying what? You can trust me. You're not alone. You don't have to jump into this body of water by yourself. I am here and I'm going to catch you and I'm going to protect you. And that's what we will say to our children. We'll say, don't worry. Now, a lot of times it doesn't work. And when our children don't jump in that water, it makes us feel what? It makes me feel bad. Because it makes me feel like they don't what? It makes me feel like they don't trust me. That I would allow harm of some kind to come to them. But I'm not concerned enough to catch them when they jump in that pool to help them through every situation. You know, I get the sense sometimes, that may be the way God feels. He's saying, you can do it. You can overcome the temptations. You can overcome this world. You can make it. Jump into my arms and I'll take care of you and I'll protect you. I am faithful. I will not drop you. And we stand there at the edge, and we will not jump. Can you imagine, as disappointed as we are and as hurt as we feel, that our children don't trust us enough to jump into our arms, knowing that we'll protect them, how God feels? We say, put your faith and trust in me. I won't let you fall. I'll catch you. You're not alone when it comes to these temptations. You need to remember that. God is here to help you. And he says, you come to me. I am faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to you and me. Now, I think about the fact that we're not alone when it comes to these temptations. We're not the first ones that have experienced them. And we're certainly not alone when it comes to having faced these things. I think about Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12. Now, why do I point these particular passages of Scripture out to you? Because chapter 11 is an entire chapter with characters that were able to overcome temptations that we face in our life. Maybe they overcame the fear associated with going to a new home. Abraham certainly had that. Maybe they overcame the fear of living in a palace and being kicked out. And maybe it's the case that because I have turned my back on that lifestyle and have chosen to suffer affliction with the people of God, that my life's going to be in jeopardy. These people overcame so much. And you think about towards the end of chapter 11, all of the different things that happened to some of the prophets of God, and they remained faithful to Him. They overcame these things. And they may have been tempted to recant their belief in God. Yeah, some of the folks may have been given an opportunity to say, listen, if you'll say that God doesn't exist and quit prophesying or preaching or teaching in His name, we'll let you go. We don't have to go through this process. And they refused to do it. Many of them were stoned, and some were sawn in two and delivered to all types of beasts that tore them and ate them. Horrible tragedies in their life, because they wouldn't give in to the temptation to turn their back on God and sin. Now, the reason why I put chapter 12 there is because he opens chapter 12 by saying, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of what? Of witnesses. And I think that he's looking back to chapter 11 and saying, look at all of these people that have overcome the temptations in their life, and they serve as an example to you. They are witnesses that you can do it too. You can do it. And so, you're not the first. And secondly, you're not alone. God is faithful. Now, as we think about God's faithfulness and how it is that He's going to help us, we can read further in our text. And so, when tempted, remember number three, you are not helpless. You are not helpless. We've got a lot of people, I believe, live in this world and think that, well, you know, I just cannot control my impulses, my desires. I just don't have any self-control. And whatever I want to do, I'll do it. And if you put this before me and I like it, I'm just going to do it. Whatever I like, I'm going to do. I want to do this, I'm going to do it. I can't control my desires and my impulses. And people act like they are helpless. And you hear this all the time. Well, this is just the way I was made. And I can't control it. Oh yeah, you can't control it. God has given you the ability to do that. Now listen to what He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now that's what He says. God has given you the ability to overcome the difficulties and the temptations and the problems that you face in your life. You are capable. He's equipped you with the ability. And He says that I'm not going to tempt you beyond your ability to overcome the temptation. Now think about Job when I think about overcoming the difficulties and the hardships of life and how that he was tempted by his companions, his friends, even his wife to curse God and die because of all of the bad things that happened to him in his life, and he refused to do it. I don't know that I would have been as strong as Job. Maybe I would have quit a long time before. Maybe I would have said, you know what, it's time. Let's just get it over with. I can't take it anymore. But God knew who Job was. He knew his character. And that speaks volumes of Job to think that God said to Satan, hey, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like this guy. I don't care what you throw on his plate. He'll endure it. He can take it. He's one of mine. God knew his ability, and in all that happened to Job, he did not curse God or charge God with sin. Even though he was not guilty of doing anything worthy of what he suffered. God's given you the ability to overcome your temptations. Now, I realize that we are human, and we're going to make mistakes. You know, I pointed out to James this morning, I know that James Satterfield's never committed any sin in his life. And he laughed, you know, which is what I expected. Because I know that James has. I know that I have. I know that you have. I know that we're going to make mistakes later in our life as well. For all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're gonna fall at times. But I hope that we understand that we do have the ability to overcome and we can get better about these things. We don't have to give in to the sins and to the temptations that are put before us. We can break away from this temptation. See, God has given you the ability to do it, to overcome. Then fourth, I want us to understand, and it's kind of in line with this, that's why I put it on the same slide, is you are not destined for failure. You're not destined for failure. Now listen to what he says here. He says, I will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, this is kind of ironic to me because we're looking at the writer of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we were studying yesterday in our men's weekend. I don't know if we call it a retreat. We didn't really go anywhere, but we came together and we had a men's event and I loved it and it was good and Dan Chambers spoke to us. And yesterday he talked to us about Romans chapter 7. He talked about the conflict that Paul felt because of the warfare that went on between his flesh and between his spirit. And how that there was a desire to do good, but what he wanted to do is his flesh was weak and he failed to do, and the things that he didn't want to do because his flesh was weak, he did those things. And he struggled with that. Now, isn't it ironic that Paul later writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, same guy, he's not going to tempt you above your ability to overcome. Even Paul recognized, you know, I have the ability. God has provided me with the ability to overcome. I don't always do that, and that's what's so frustrating. It's frustrating. Because I know I'm weak and I'm sinful. But I have the ability. Now, a lot of times, we might feel like we're destined for failure. The beauty of what Paul would write in Romans chapter 7 is, but thanks be to God that we have been saved, that we have been given victory through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for that. Because I know I can't be righteous on my own, and He's righteousness for me. And I have His grace. So sometimes we may feel destined for faith. Boy, what a helpless and hopeless feeling that would be. There's some things that I don't like. There's some things that I'm more afraid of than other things. Not necessarily afraid of the dark. I'm not necessarily afraid of being in closed spaces. I'm not real claustrophobic unless I don't feel like there's a way out. But let me tell you what I am afraid of. And this drives me nuts. I can't handle it. It's when somebody ties me up or I'm bound and I can't get out of something. Oh, that's the scariest feeling for me in the world. I don't want to be tied up. I don't want to have my hand. If I don't feel like I can get out, I just feel helpless and hopeless, and I go into a panic. I don't like it. I don't like it. I go into a panic mode. Now listen, if I'm in an enclosed space and there's a light in the area or I know how to get out of it, it doesn't bother me at all. I can stay there for a while. That's not an issue. I don't mind being in the dark if I know that there's a way out. But I don't like being bound. I feel helpless. I feel like there's nothing I can do to succeed. I'm lost. It's hopeless and helpless. Well, I need to understand, though, I am not destined for failure when it comes to God. That I can overcome. That He has given me the ability to overcome, and He has, in fact, provided a way for escape that I might be able to endure it. So with God, there is always a way of escape. There is always a light at the end of the tunnel. You don't have to feel destined for failure. You look for the way out when it comes to the temptations that you face in your life. So when you think about temptations, I want you to remember, number one, you're not the first. Number two, you're not alone. Number three, you're not helpless. God's given you the ability to make decisions, to exercise self-control. And you're not destined for failure like so many people believe that they are. Listen, we are children of God if we're Christians. And because we are children of God, because we're Christians, we have wonderful blessings. We are destined for what? We are destined for victory. Victory. And folks, we can have some of that victory here today because we can overcome some of the demons. We can overcome some of the temptations that we're confronted with in our life if we will put our faith and our trust in God and recognize that I have the ability to overcome. I can exercise self-control, and there's always a way of escape for me out of those temptations if I'll look for it and if I'll take it. God's faithful. He's always faithful. And these conditions are always going to exist for us. Now the question is, how will we respond to it? Will we recognize that we have the ability and act on it? Will we understand that we're not destined for failure, that we can overcome? And will we latch onto God's hand, trust Him, look into His Word, and understand what it is that we need to do and how we need to live our lives so that we can be better suited for His kingdom? Overcoming the temptation. I don't know what your temptation is. Maybe you have a temptation similar to the ones that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Maybe one of your temptations is worldliness. Maybe you're concerned about all the things of this world so much and it takes your priority off of God. Maybe your temptation is pride. He says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's what Paul would mention. Maybe your temptation is sexual immorality or impurity, as some of the problems that they had here in the wilderness. Maybe your temptation is grumbling and murmuring against God, as many of them did. Or maybe your temptation is something a little bit different. Maybe your temptation is the fear not to do what's right, not to stand for God, to take a back seat, to try to drift off into the crowd, not be set apart for Him. Whatever the case is today, you can overcome that. You can overcome the temptation to engage in those types of activities if you'll let God help you in your life. And if you've been guilty of falling prey to those temptations, He's here to forgive you of those sins. He loves you. He wants you to be His child. He wants to set you right with Him. He wants you to be destined for victory. If it's the case today that you're not a Christian, God's pleading with you to become a child of His. And He's laid it out for us in the Scriptures, how we become a Christian. We need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away those sins, raised to walk in newness with Christ and of life. You think about the same power, according to Colossians, that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power of God that's working in our conversion when we're baptized to take away our sins and raise us to a new life. So it's the powerful operation of God. And if you're not a Christian, I want to beg and plead with you to become one today so that you can be destined for victory. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we encourage you to come now. All together we stand and sing.